Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer. I am your host, Nate Bucati. Joined, as always, by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. Good evening, El Jefe. How are you?
Not as always, Nate. Remember, it's been a while, actually. It's been a couple weeks since I've been on the air.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah. You've really been letting us down lately.
I have been. It's been a rough month, but going to try and get back on the wagon here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, and I think I need your emotional support here today. It's going to be a fantastic show, an interesting show. Of course, we have Chuck Kay running the show as always, and we're going to be joined by Marcelo Balboa, the color analyst for the Colorado Rapids, and of course, U.S. men's national team hero, and many other things, as we preview Sporting Kansas City's matchup on Saturday. As they really wrap up a very, very busy month of May, in which they spent 4 out of 5 games away from Children's Mercy Park, or will have spent, but a chance, I think, for Sporting Kansas City to get a result on the road against the team with the worst record in MLS at 7 o'clock on Saturday. So that's all coming up, but today is the first day of the hashtag CapFed guest host experiment that we started last year. It's not an experiment anymore because it worked, because we're doing it again this year, right?
Eureka.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun with it last year. And so this will be the first time we've had a CapFed guest host this season, of course, courtesy of our friends at Capital Federal. If you'd like to be a CapFed guest host in the near future, all you have to do is send us a tweet with the reason why you deserve to be our CapFed guest host and use the hashtag CapFed guest host. We had many more responses. I would say this time maybe as many responses as we had most of last year combined. I mean, this thing really took off. Yeah. People were excited.
It's a big start to it this year.
And it wasn't just quantity, it was quality of reasons. Because it's now time for us to introduce our CapFed guest host, who had a fantastic, strong quality on the tweet that she sent us, correct?
World-class tweet.
I'll go ahead and read the tweet, and then we'll introduce our guest host. The tweet was, let me make sure I have it here, "I'll be Ilie Sanchez. You won't even know I'm there, but I'll make you look good." I mean, that's good.
That's fire.
That's good stuff right there.
A deserved winner, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders above the rest. And there were some good entries as well this week.
So. Yeah. It was a good one. So without further ado, let's introduce our CapFed guest host for this week. Introduce yourself, young lady.
My name's Amy Reif, and I thank you for letting me come. It's good to be here. And I asked him before, how many tweets were there? Because I was convinced there was 2, and it was a coin flip. So.
No, this is a popular thing. People are dying to get in the studio and hang out with Carter Augustine
for a full hour.
And
lining up,
And you get a prize pack as well, though. 2 tickets to the Sporting Kansas City Montreal Impact game, CapFed Sporting KC scarf, and a gift certificate to Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen.
One in of my favorites.
Yeah, and the Legends. So you get to, pick a lucky person, go to the game, a little dinner at Jazz beforehand, wear your scarf, and you're all set. Sound pretty good?
It's very cool. Thank you.
And the best part is, not only do you get to co-host a show with us now, and this is like a couple of minutes, I get to talk for a couple minutes?
I thought 30 seconds, thank you, and I'm out, but uh-oh.
No,
uh-oh.
You are on the show with us. You're stuck with us for the entire hour. We need all your hot takes on MLS and Sporting Kansas City. And no peer pressure, but we do have a beer on this show. Are you okay with that?
I told my husband is a little worried what I'm going to say, and so now I'm adding alcohol to it. But when in Rome.
Oh, if you think he's worried now, just wait till the admissions that are about to come forth in a second. We have your choice of our good friends at Boulevard Brewing Company have supplied us with a ginger lemon radler, which is good for the summertime, or the American Kolsch. Which one would you like?
It was a tough choice, but I think I'm going with the Radler.
Okay, I'm having the Kolsch. What are you having, El Jefe?
I, too, am having the Kolsch. I'm
a big
fan.
So first thing we got to do is crack these open, and we'll see how good Amy's pour is. We will judge you on this, by the way, because Carter, 2 years in, is still struggling.
These are some stellar glasses you have here.
Yeah, it's almost a snifter, basically.
Oh, it was good until that.
Yeah, you got a little too excited at the end.
Yeah. These glasses aren't for one beer.
It's better
than
Carter's.
These glasses aren't built for one beer, actually.
It is better than Carter's, and I would expect as much from someone from KCK compared to someone from Des Moines, Iowa. So,
cheers.
Here's to some soccer talk.
I'll
come on, El Jefe. Don't be so sensitive.
Cheers to soccer talk.
Yeah, there you go. To soccer talk.
Not to the Des Moines hatred, though.
I haven't had a Boulevard beer I don't like yet, but it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
The Ginger Lemon Rattler. Okay, so let's get into this before we break down Sporting Kansas City and all those things. I meet Amy. We selected Amy purely based on the quality of her tweet. Your last name is now, it's pronounced Reef?
Reef.
Reef.
Yes.
Reef Brief at Twitter. So I'm not making any connection here. We pick her based on the strength of her tweet. She shows up at the studio. She tells me, I'm friends with some of your friends from KCK. Then she tells me her maiden name is Dalsing, right?
It is.
And that's when I say, I had a major crush on you when we were in high school. And this is, so if your husband's listening, look, it was 20 years ago. We're both married now. There's nothing, there's nothing to worry about at this point in time. But it also came out. She does not remember me, right? You don't really remember
me
from high school.
I don't know that's true. You said
that's a diplomatic answer.
He said he put out feelers. I'm not buying that story.
I did.
No.
I put out a feeler. I can tell you the name of the person who was a mutual friend of ours, and I hey, what do you think?
Amy would the fence, if you will.
Yeah,
it's all very suspect.
You think she'd be willing to, maybe go on a date with me sometime? And she did some reconnaissance, came back, and said, "Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think you have a shot." So,
wow.
So here we are.
Yeah, and I'm just here.
And Carter's just here.
I'm not from KCK.
Yeah. Sumner Academy, pride of class of 1994.
Go Sabres.
And I'm here to tell you, phenomenal athlete. And that was definitely at the genesis of the crush, too. She could throw a football, I swear, 40 yards downfield.
It was one of the mini footballs.
Heck
still
of an
counts.
Arm. You backed up my claim here, though. I didn't realize this because, obviously, once you made it clear you had no interest in me, it was over at that point. So I didn't follow what you did after high school, but you are a Division I athlete.
Yes, I played softball at Auburn.
Wow.
I know, so we're very excited. We made it into the Super Regionals this weekend.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How did you guys do? Did you have a good team when you were there?
No, we didn't.
Why did you decide to go to Auburn? I mean, from Kansas City, Kansas to the SEC.
They recruited me. I went 2 years. I played 1 year at Johnson County.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it was the first year, 1997, was the very first year they were starting softball in the SEC. There were two schools, South Carolina and Tennessee had it, but they did not have it. And so I was on the inaugural team.
Wow.
That was kind of cool.
That is really cool. Yeah. And you met your husband at Auburn. He was a baseball player.
He was yes.
That's mm-hmm. So your kids have no athletic genes whatsoever? They got no shot?
I will tell you this. Our oldest, we thought, we're like, let's play. This is what we know. Play some baseball. He's playing shortstop, and I swear to God, ground ball hit. He goes to the 5-6 hole and stops the ball with his foot.
He's a smart man.
Yeah.
We both looked at each other and said, no.
So he's a soccer player
he's
now.
Now he plays some soccer. Yes.
Yeah.
He plays a little soccer.
Yeah. He it sounds like he plays more than a little bit of soccer.
He does. He plays for Sporting Academy. So shout out to Storm.
Right on.
There you go.
Storm Reef.
Yeah.
We'll have to keep an eye out for him when we watch the Academy games now. What and is he at the U16 level?
No, actually, he just...
Are you 14?
Yep. So if he makes the team next year, it would be the U15s.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. That's exciting. And then you have two kids and your mm-hmm. life is good.
Yeah.
You're back in
cash.
You left Alabama and came back to Kansas City.
Came home.
The pull was too strong.
Yeah. I made Derek come to... There's oftentimes we wake up and say, how are we sitting here?
Does he like Kansas City?
Yes, he loves Kansas City. It's a great town. How can you not?
We were talking before the show started that for both of us, I did play soccer for 2 years in high school. But even then, high school soccer at Bishop Ward High School was a complete stepchild. We played against Sumner Academy at City Park, at a public park for a field because the high school football teams wouldn't let us play on the football field.
Wow.
And was there any team in KCK that had girls soccer
no,
at that time?
Nope. In fact, I I would have loved to play, but they didn't have, and they said I could play on the boys' team, and we didn't have softball at the time. It was my group, it was my parents and a friend's group of parents that went to the board and started softball at Sumner. They didn't have it.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. That just seems like the dark ages. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago.
We went to state the first year, too.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. So you have you been a soccer fan, or did you become a soccer fan because your son kind of got you into it?
I have to say, no, I did not understand it. I was kind of one of those, you know, you see the ball kicked, what, mm-hmm. and then you start watching it, and you start understanding it, and it is one of the most beautiful games to watch. And if you, you know, 0-0, well, a lot of times it could be, if every goal was converted, it could be 7-6, 7-7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it really is fun to watch if you know what you're watching.
It's a bug when you catch it, right? When
absolutely.
You finally get into it.
Do you go to a lot of the sporting games?
Everyone.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Does the whole family go?
No, it's usually somebody takes Storm.
Oh, okay. Because
yeah.
he's going to every game.
Yep.
And did I hear you say that he's a ball boy for Swill Park Rangers as well?
They rotate.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. So he like does he just eats it all up. He loves going
loves
all of it.
You cannot say enough about the academy and the coaches and the environment. It's just second to none for especially a kid who, you know, loves soccer.
I mean, I have to say that it really surprises me to be sitting here. First of all, knowing that we knew each other, you know, back in those days, and that you were not a soccer player. Your tweet was such a good, I mean to go back to it, but it was such a good tweet because it was a nuanced understanding of the game. It was a perfect description of why we both have such a man crush, I think, on Elie and the way he plays. So you understand the game. I mean, you didn't just get into this. You follow the sport, it seems like.
I've always been defensive-minded, you know, rather, whatever sport it is, and especially in soccer. I mean, if they don't score, you can't lose. That's always been my philosophy. But when you take somebody like Elie, who it's really crazy to me when they play, you know, the defensive back line, and it starts with four, but if you mm-hmm. look throughout the game, it is two center backs and him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we essentially have mm-hmm. a three back, and he, to be able to come back and play defense like that, but be so essential in scoring is, I think it's what they've tried to do in the past and didn't have the player to do it.
It's spot on. Absolutely right. It's allowed them to play the way they've wanted to play. Probably not since Uri Rozelle. Have they had a guy, unless I'm missing somebody off the top of my head, that could really pull the strings like that from that deep-lying position? And you're right. I mean, this is a system where Graham Zusi and Seth Sinovic get forward so much that you have to have somebody in front of those two center backs that can help buttress the defense if you give the ball away and to win the ball back in those situations. It's absolutely the way that it looks on the field.
Yeah, he's been a boon to the system for sure. I think it does go back to Uri. You know, Sony Musvar is a good player, and he's great at breaking up the passing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
But then the difference mm-hmm. is the distribution. And I think Elie is even better than Uri, of course, was great at maintaining possession, but I don't think he split the lines as much and penetrated in terms of turning defense into attack. And I think Elie has been fantastic at that.
Yeah, he'll try some passes that you might not have seen Uri Rozelle try. And that's why you don't necessarily see the completion percentage numbers as high as Uri's, but they're still pretty darn high. But, I mean, every time you look, if it's an incomplete pass by Uri, it's a pass where he's trying to, you know, get the ball into the attack to somebody who's maybe heavily marked in situations like that. So is he your favorite player to watch right now?
He is. And to my point, I didn't know Seth Sinovic could play offense. I mean, truly, he was always, and then he gets a goal
mm-hmm.
this year,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, he's always up the field now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Zusi was because that was not his position beforehand,
right.
So he's used to doing that, but I think he's fantastic.
Does your son have a favorite player on the team?
It's also Elie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What position does he play, by the way?
One guess.
Holding
defensive
midfielder. Yeah. Holding midfielder.
I like it.
That's his
like
favorite.
It.
That's
yeah.
his favorite name. They do a
yeah.
really good job of moving them all around and getting to know all the positions, but
yeah.
that is his favorite.
Does he have a holding midfielder not on Sporting that is a favorite player of his? Just curious.
Oh, you know, he's a Man City fan.
Okay.
So I'm certain it would be. I'm not as versed.
Yeah. Yaya Toure may be in there.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Man City, that's interesting. That's you don't come across many Man City, like American-based Man City fans.
I bet you do now.
More and more so,
yeah.
right? But it seems like everybody I meet's a Chelsea fan, an Arsenal fan, a Liverpool fan, a Manchester United fan, you know? But now City is starting to, you know, they've won for a while now. How did he become a Manchester City fan, do you know?
I have really no idea. Maybe because everyone else was an Arsenal fan a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. United fan. Yeah. There's way too many United fans, so I'm all for every City fan out there.
What are you pumping your fist for? Who are you? I'm talking to Charlie now.
I'm a Man City fan as well.
There you go.
Wow.
The citizen.
And there's really not too many reasons behind it other than my best friend is a Manchester United fan.
Perfect. That's the best like reason possible.
Just like to make him mad about it.
So, what are the bets? Yeah. What bets do you guys make?
We don't make a lot of bets. It usually has something to do with jersey swap and that sort of thing. But
Talkies.
And other bets that I can't really mention on the radio probably. But
You got to wear a Manchester United jersey around. Mm-hmm. You've had it pretty good here lately, especially, with what's happened this year. By the way, Jonathan Kaplan, our buddy Cappy, has just tweeted in, pretty sure that Reef Brief is coming for Nate Buchanan's job right now on the Sporting Kansas City show. Look, breaking my heart in high school was enough. You don't have to take my job too, okay? We can move forward. Let's talk a little bit about where Sporting Kansas City have been so far this year, and then we'll get some thoughts before we break and bring in Marcelo Balboa. First of all, Sporting Kansas City fall on the road. Vancouver Whitecaps 2, Sporting Kansas City 0. I'll start with you, El Jefe, on this one. I don't think there's too much to really address from this one, and maybe you tell me if I'm dismissing a loss too easily, but I look around the league and I look at all the other teams that dropped points at the weekend, and I look at how many teams were dealing with the same situation of third game in 8 days against a team who was not dealing with that same situation. And they all kind of suffered the same fate, playing, some reserves, trying to squeak out a victory or squeak out some sort of result, and it didn't work out. It's a pretty easy one for me to just discard and move past. Am I dismissing it too easily?
I don't think Peter Vermees will dismiss it that easily, but I do agree with you in the terms of this Vancouver team was well-rested at home. It was always going to be an uphill battle in MLS. You see this, just the scheduling quirks. It happens so many times a year. A team playing three games in the space of 8 days, like you said, and Vancouver had been rested. That being said, I think there are some guys that had chances to perhaps put a stamp on their place in the lineup. And I'm thinking of, guys like Tyler Pascher. He had an opportunity to come out and impress the coaches. And so I think that's what will be taken away, is he really didn't do a whole lot in his half on the field. He was obviously well rested. So, he, Mustavar, I think there are some guys that maybe could have taken this opportunity a little more with both hands.
Did you have any thoughts from that game?
The only thought I had from that game is whether the shoulder pass or the left footed volley was better.
Oh, the chest. The Bolaños. I mean, and that's the other thing is, like, I know that Peter Vermees told us after the game that they could have closed down a little bit better, the Sporting defenders. But to me, sometimes you tip your cap and go, that's just a heck of a goal.
It was unbelievable. I thought we struggled every set piece. We did not defend those well at all.
Have Eichel Parra in the game, and that's going to...
Yeah.
And it made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because, like, if you look at the goal that Parker scored on the set piece, he's got Roger Espinosa in his hip pocket. I think it was Roger.
It was.
Parker's about 4 inches taller. I don't know what else you really do in that situation. If you got Eichel Parra at 6'3" in there, it's possible that doesn't come off the way that it does.
And that's kind of a fluky one because it's Tim Parker's first career goal. He's not exactly known as a goal scorer. He hasn't played that many games and big prospect and everything. Yeah. He's not exactly popping up on the scouting report as a guy that you need to mark necessarily.
There was a later one that also hit the post.
Yeah. The thing for me is, I guess, I just look at the way this team has played. When they have their first choice 11, I think it's a really good team. Jason Kreis, after the Orlando City game, told their sideline reporter in their post-game interview that it's the best team we've played so far this year. And they've played against New York City FC. They've played against Red Bulls. I can't remember if they played against Toronto or not. Right now, for my money, Toronto looks like the best team in this league. And Sporting Kansas City played them to a 0-0 draw at their place, which shows, I think, defensively, there's no doubt in my mind that when Sporting have all their players in, that they're the best defensive side in MLS. So the one thing I guess I take away from it is it still does cause you to question the depth a little bit if they end up with some injuries at some point in the season. And I guess we could talk about the fact that Dom Dwyer is dealing with a knee injury right now. Can they cover those injuries? Because I think that if they're healthy, they're one of the top three teams in the league. Does anybody disagree with that?
I think the MLS rankings evidently disagree with that. People at the league offices, I think they threw Sporting at fourth. So
okay.
They've got NYC up there with FC Dallas.
Which after the performance they had against Orlando City, I can respect that.
A little New York bias as well.
Yeah,
I think,
for sure.
In those offices, they love themselves some New York teams, but they're certainly up there. Sporting Kansas City, I won't disagree with you there. They're going to be there at the end of the year, I think for sure.
I think just being a casual fan, that there's no doubt this season has been more fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It's more, I really think that they've completed more passes, gone in the attack. They've come back instead of maybe shooting a ball sometimes they would take shots. It was just like, really? Or send mm-hmm. a ball across the field that was, somebody was open if they just played it back. I think that they really have the potential to, FC Dallas, they can get past FC Dallas. Because they seem to be a thorn in our side, I feel like.
Yeah, FC Dallas, and again, they look really good. But I'm going to be interested to see what happens with FC Dallas as their matches start to pile up.
They do. They will pile up, won't they?
Yeah, because remember, they've played three fewer games than Sporting Kansas City, and so you could look at it and say, well, they have all these games in hand. They'll pass Sporting in the standings. We've seen on the flip side of that it doesn't always work out that way in MLS. For example, one of those games in hand is a game on the road at Chicago, which has been a dynamite team at home so far this year. But the other thing is, they've actually played, I want to say, 13 games this year, because they played some CONCACAF Champions League games at the beginning of the year. And then they're going to have their match, fixture congestion coming up. And how will they be able to deal with that? We've seen Oscar Pereja be pretty pragmatic about that with his teams in the past. So that'll be interesting to watch. But I like your point, Amy, in particular about the patience of the team in the attack. And it's something that Peter Vermees told us about early in the season. There were a couple games he got really frustrated because Sporting would build up into the attack. They'd get Graham Zusi or Seth Sinovic overlapping and up the field, out on the flanks. And as soon as they got it parallel to the penalty area, they would just whip in crosses. Because that's kind of what a lot of teams do. That's just kind of your instinct. Is I'm up here, now it's time to serve one in. Well, Sporting doesn't really have that 6'3" target forward to try to serve a cross into. So he's like, no, be patient. If you don't have ability to dribble your way into the box, recirculate it, bring it back around. We'll keep probing until we find something. And I do think that for the past 5 or 6 games, they've shown that patience that you're talking about, and they're starting to break teams down because of it.
I think, I don't know if it was the second or third goal Gerso had, the great example is Zusi. He had a shot at goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think goalie had the position on the near post, and he crossed it back to Gerso, and he scored. And it was like, they would have not done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think certainly they've been – that was a problem last year was this – and you mentioned earlier, the shots that weren't they had a bad shooting percentage all last season. I remember us doing a game against LA Galaxy where it was like the complete opposite stats of Sporting had the most shots, but they couldn't get any on goal. I think they've done a lot better this year. You look at this Vancouver game, and it's the one – 11 shots, just 2 on target, kind of that same mold. And so I think that's something that Peter Vermees won't be too happy about. But at the same time, it's a like you said, it's a game on the road, so there will be some things learned, but no crying over that spilt milk, I don't think.
All right, we are going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, Marcelo Balboa will join us. We have our first, CapFed guest host of the season in studio. She doesn't remember me from high school, but we'll move past that at some point.
No boombox outside of the outside of the house.
With the say anything, yeah, absolutely. John, I was kind of like John Cusack in high school, a little awkward.
Yeah, I could see that.
John Cusack was very cute.
Imperfect.
So evidently not like John
Cusack. Well, hey, yeah, so except for that part, maybe more the Better Off Dead type John Cusack. We'll take a break back after this on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So we've got our CapFed guest host, first one of the year. You can follow her on Twitter if you'd like. At Reef Brief, Reef_Brief.
Not many tweets there, Nate.
Well, your phone's blown up, though. I mean,
my phone is blowing up.
How many of them are angry text messages from your husband?
No.
Derek, you have nothing to worry about. She wasn't interested. We've gone over that,
I love you, honey.
20 years ago. And by the way, Kelly, I love you with all my heart. It's all worked out for everybody. This is just too funny. All right, so we are going to be touching base with Marcelo Balboa here in a little bit. as he's apparently finishing a drill. He must be out coaching right now at in Colorado. Sporting Kansas City will be taking on the Colorado Rapids at 7 o'clock on Saturday. We'll give you some details on that game as well. The Nugget, little peek behind the curtain, the Nugget we're working on, Carter, you and I, a couple of things. Last year, the Rapids were unbeatable at home.
Unbeaten.
10-0-6, the only team to go the entire season last year.
A whole lot of 1-0s there, too.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, hey, Jose Mourinho would be proud, right?
It's true.
But they were great defensively. They didn't give up goals at home, and they never lost at home. They were the only team in MLS to not lose at home last year. They've already lost twice at home this year. So I'm saying that there's a chance for Sporting Kansas City in this one. This is not the same Rapids team that it was a year ago.
No, and they, like you said, two losses. They've lost to Vancouver at home this year, so I think that says a lot. They made some changes. You talked about it. I thought Jermaine Jones played a lot more games for them last season than he actually did.
Yeah, well, so we decided nine games. I think
so,
six starts.
Yeah, so not a huge impact there. But the big impact was the trade at the beginning of the season.
Cronin and Birch. And it's really helped Minnesota a lot, by the way.
Yeah, it has helped. It's helped them. And the weird thing was what they got back. Josh Gatt and Mohamed Saeed, I think.
Yeah, the biggest thing is money.
And the money will help. Yeah. And I assume they'll be spending it this summer. You know, you would hope.
The word is they were going to spend it on an attacking force. And I will put this out there. I will remind everybody where Seattle Sounders were at the late summer point last year, late July.
That summer window, man.
Yeah, they were worst in the West, and they won the Cup. They added Nico Ladero, and it changed their entire team. Of course, they fired their coach as well. I don't think anybody's hoping for that in Colorado. But if they somehow take that money and bring in a dynamic attacking presence, they get, say, Axel Hooberg healthy, who's been hurt for much of the year, and they shore up some of the things defensively that, you know, get back to what they had been, it could work out. I mean, the trade could be horrible in the short term and better for them in the long term. But in the short term, the trade's been a disaster for them. It seems to have sent them into a tailspin.
Yeah, and if you're talking long term, it's already looking bad for this season long term. Like, it's, if you're talking long term in terms of end of the season, they could revamp things. Like, they're on 0.64 points a game right now. They have 7 points. That's a full 9 points behind the playoff spots already. So they've been really struggling, and I think mm-hmm. Sporting should be looking to this game to go in there and get 3 points on the road.
Yeah, you got to put your foot down on the team that is struggling before they make any moves that they might make in the summer transfer window as well. And I'll point out that not all summer transfers work like Nico Ladero did. A lot of times they come in and guys have a tough time acclimating to a new system and all those things. So
I mean,
we'll see.
Uri Rossell stands out. He came in the summer and took him a full half season, and then the next season it was absolutely dynamic.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no doubt about it. Who's your phone blowing up from? Are these like old friends from KCK?
Just crazy. Yeah. I just can't even tell you. But I do have a question about this. I want to know if you have inside info on what Tim Howard said to Dom Dwyer.
Yeah, I don't. I asked Dom and a couple of the guys on the team what that was all about afterwards, and I don't think anybody wants to talk about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Dom didn't respond to my text, and the people that did respond to my text were like, yeah, I didn't see it, I missed it, I was in the tunnel, and I think they just don't, you know.
Thought I was going to find out.
Look, I think Tim Howard lost his cool, and he lost his cool in three different circumstances. He lost his cool on some fans in the stands. He lost his cool on Dom Dwyer, and then he lost his cool, obviously, which resulted in a 3-game suspension afterwards. I mean, we can suppose all we want about it. I personally wonder how much of it might have to do with the fact that half of his defense got traded away, and then his team gave up 3 goals that night. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I would be upset if I came back as a designated player to play for a team in MLS and I finished 2 points away from the Supporters Shield. Let's not forget, they finished 2 points off the Supporters Shield. One more win last year, and they would have had the best record in all of MLS. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, half my defense has been traded away, and now my team looks completely unorganized. You know, I didn't come back to the United States for this. You know what I mean? Like, I would be upset about that.
Absolutely.
So.
It shows how much of that's how big a deal defense is.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, look, I think he's a fiery competitor. We see that in games. Yep. But
it will certainly be an undertone for this game. We'll see if Dom Dwyer can get healthy. That would add a little bit to it as well. props to the Colorado Rapids PR department or whoever came up with their match day poster is the poster of Tim Howard for this game.
Okay.
So
yeah, match day poster Tim Howard. How about that?
What's the TIFO? Yeah, what is the TIFO? What he said?
I don't think it will be.
That would be nice.
That'd a lot of asterisks, nice. I think, on that team.
Well, Sporting already did the Rock'em Sock'em Robots, yeah. You know, so I don't think you could do Tim Howard
I'm
with
curious,
that.
Yeah, I'm curious what, yeah, the, what they'll
that,
bring out.
That will be interesting. Yeah. I was told today that the Roadrun is already sold out.
It sounds like it's going to be a doozy of a party.
Yeah, I think we're looking at over 1,000 people in the Roadrun. I know there will be 10 Bucates in the Roadrun.
Wow.
Including my wife and kids, my sister and brother-in-law and nephews. Couple cousins of mine.
Right. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Perfect weekend for that trip. I mean, to be fair, Sporting fans, they travel to Colorado every time. Every time we've been there, they're rolling deep.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun on Saturday at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. And speaking of that, we are now joined by announcer, color commentator for the Colorado Rapids, and of course, the U.S. men's national team legend and MLS legend as well, Marcelo Balboa. On the show now. Good evening, Marcelo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you in the middle of conducting some training right now?
I am right in the middle of my U14 DA practice, so I'm doing two jobs in one, yes.
We appreciate that. If at any point you need to swear at the players or anything, you know, just take the phone away and try not to put it on there.
I won't yell. I won't scream in your ear, I promise.
Sounds good. Well, hey, we were just talking, Marcelo, about this Rapids team and what a juxtaposition. A year ago, a team that was 2 points off the Supporters' Shield to right now, at least, in last place with just 2 wins on the season. It's got to be a little bit stunning to see how differently this season has started compared to last year, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, I think all of us were a little stunned that it didn't start off, but we kind of knew there was going to be some sort of hiccup. You know, when you lose Jermaine Jones, when you lose Papa, when you lose Latu, when then you trade away Cronin and Birch, you kind of knew there was something, there were going to be a little hiccup somewhere. And we're just trying to find a way to get over that speed bump right now.
And so do you think the personnel has been the big difference, or what has been the difference in just 7 points so far?
I think when you come into the season, there really wasn't a lot of players acquired this year. I think that was a big thing that surprised a lot of people. And now you look at, you know, you make a trade 6 games in, and I think that surprised a lot of people. So there's just a lot of little things that, you know, I thought last year, and I've said this before, I thought last year maybe we were 2 players away. At the end of last year when we finished, 2 players away from maybe winning that Supporters' Shield. You know what I mean? And then you lose Jermaine Jones, you lose Papa, you lose Latu, and you get rid of him. Now you go back and you think, okay, it's almost are we rebuilding instead of reloading? So I think that's the part that we're trying to figure out.
You know, the word we had the pleasure of, you know, seeing you guys right after that trade, and Sporting obviously took advantage of some of that in a lopsided win at home. But I remember talking to some of the people with the Rapids at the time, Marcelo, and the word, it seemed like the feeling was, okay, this trade might not come all the way full circle until the summer transfer window, because Colorado might be able to bring in, you know, use some of that money to bring in a really dynamic attacking presence. Do you think if that comes to fruition, if Colorado is able to pull that off, will this all have been worth it, even if in the short term it's maybe set the team back a little bit?
Listen, I think the only time it's worth it is when you find out if you make the playoffs. If you don't make the playoffs, then no. Let's be honest. This is what it's all about here. There's no relegation. There's no punishment for coming in last place. They actually reward you. They give you $200,000+ in allocation money. So all of this for us, I think for soccer people, not just the Rapids, I'm talking MLS, you base everything off that these transfers, these trades and markets that you bring in players, did you make the playoffs? And if you don't, then you looked at maybe it didn't work out.
Marcelo, you spoke to rebuilding, and I was just curious if there's anyone in particular in the academy system that Colorado was looking to get ready.
You know what? I think there's a few players you can look at, you know what I mean? But I think right now you look at the homegrown players that we signed, and Courtney Ford, and Sam Hamilton. Those are the young kids that are getting that kind of experience. They've got some young kids coming up through the academy. But I think, like anything else, the experience a year or two in college is going to be very beneficial to a lot of kids. There's not a lot of kids that can make that jump from 18 straight to the pros. So I think we've got some potential here, but I also think they're going to need that experience.
We're visiting with Marcelo Balboa, talking about this upcoming matchup, Sporting Kansas City and the Colorado Rapids. And speaking of young guys, it was a really interesting day this past weekend for Caleb Calvert, who scored his first goal, but then was issued a red card because he was already on a yellow, and he came back onto the field in a situation where the referee had to bring him back on because he had gone off with an injury. I don't think I've ever seen that before in a game, Marcelo. Have you?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that in a while and in a long time. But that's the funny thing about soccer. When we think that we know everything and we've seen everything, something like this happens. And you know what? You can't blame the referee. You really can't, because you know once you're off the field, you cannot come back on the field without the referee waving you on. And you know that if the referee waves you on from this wherever position he's at, you're okay because he waves you on. You just can't walk onto the field when the trainer comes back on the field. So I think it's a valuable lesson to him. And I think it's a valuable lesson to a lot of players in MLS and maybe didn't know that rule.
So, Marcelo, speaking of the Rapids coming into this game this weekend, just 9 goals so far through 11 games. I'm curious, Skelzengashi getting back into the picture, didn't start off the season starting, just getting back into full fitness. Who is the key to turning this around for the Rapids and getting some more goals in their back pocket?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think we've ever, in the history of this club, we've ever had a guy that scored 20-something odd goals. So this is a team that relies on everybody. So I think getting Axel Schuberg back helps defensively. I think trying to figure out the combination up top between, you know, who's going to play up top now that we're playing in this new 4-4-2 formation. I think now it's just coming down to fine-tuning and seeing who is best working together, has the best chemistry, the understanding, and the movement that that Pablo wants. So, you know, if you're going to go to it, you got to go. Gashi's got to step up. Baji's got to step up. Kevin Doyle, as one of the senior veterans on the team, has to step up, you know. You got to look on the outside. I think there's got to be more service. If you're going to play an Alan Ford and someone like Caleb Calvert, or you're going to play Doyle, who relies on service, you got to serve the ball into the box, and we don't get a lot of that service except for against the San Jose game. So I think right now that it's going to be the veteran guys, the 6 guys pushing forward, that need to be a little bit more in tune with getting closer to the goal.
Now, Marcelo, you just mentioned having Axel Hubert back. I thought he was one of the best defenders in all of MLS last season. And I think he missed 8 games in a row with this injury before coming back and playing the full 90 against Philadelphia over the weekend. I'm assuming that means he's fit for this Sporting Kansas City game. We didn't see him here in Kansas City a few weeks ago. How big of a difference will that make when we watch this game coming up on Saturday?
I can't give you all the surprises and all the lineups. So, like, I have to leave a little mystery to Saturday's game, but it was great to see Axel back. That's one thing. I think with a guy like that that's missed so many weeks, I think this week of training will be important to see how he feels, to make sure that the crew and everybody, the trainers, make sure he's 100%. And if it's safe to put him back on the field, I think that he's, he's a guy that needs to start. So, yeah, it's nice to have him back. It's nice to have a leader back there. And that's not the only solution, but there's other things that need to happen in order to have to get some sort of result at home.
Hey, Marcelo, we really appreciate the time. You're a busy man getting practice taken care of at training today. So we'll let you get back to it, and we'll see you out in Commerce City on Saturday.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. That is Marcelo Balboa. Yeah, try to get some insight on the.
I wanted to ask him his longest field goal. Did you know he was a place kicker in college?
Okay, hang on.
No.
Marcelo, are you still there?
I'm still here. I heard that.
Okay. You got an answer for us?
I was a punter, by the way.
Oh, it said place. Okay, longest punt.
I was a punter in college, but I'll tell you this, it just didn't give me the joy that soccer did. So my brother was a better field. My brother was kicking 60-yard field goals in high school. So I kind of realized that that wasn't my future. So,
what was your longest punt? Do you remember that?
I think I hit 160.
Nice.
I think. Yeah, nice. But
finesse.
You know,
he put it inside
didn't
the
know
20.
Soccer players could kick a ball, so I think it rolled another 30 yards.
Hey, it does. In the stats, it looks like a 60-yard, you know, laser through the middle of the air.
Thank you very much. Exactly.
Thanks, Marcel. We'll let you go now.
Take care, guys.
All right. See, look at this. I mean, Amy's even doing homework on the show. I mean, this is big time. This is big time.
It's a first for this show.
I know. We really made a mistake here by bringing Amy into the show. Yeah, she's our CapFed guest host. She's doing a fantastic job. Hashtag CapFed guest host. Send us a tweet and tell us why you want to be the next guest host on the show. And I'm just going to say you have some pretty big shoes to fill at this point as she is polishing off that.
It's the Boulevard Radler. It's not on my Whole 30 plan, I want you to know.
Oh, you're on what's that? The Whole 30? That's the thing? What is that? Is that one of those paleo
fruits, vegetables, Boulevard?
Yeah. that's got ginger right and lemon.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
You know? Fruits
Thank
and
you.
Veggies.
Yeah.
No,
I don't feel
I mean,
bad about
right
it.
There. Yeah. All right, on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, we'll talk a little bit about Sporting Kansas City's matchup against the Rapids. But since we have another True Dot Original in the studio with me, we're going to do a little bit of, we're going to give some people some insights on Wyandotte County. When we come back, I'm going to find out where Amy comes down on some of the most controversial topics on Wyandotte County, Wyandotte Barbecue, and some other things. Yeah, well, we'll get to that.
Okay,
we'll get to
that.
Let's not spoil it.
That's a tease.
After this, on the home of sport in Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. These microphones were not on during the commercial break. Is that correct?
I hope not.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. We've got Amy Dalsing, a.k.a. Amy Reef, in studio. She is our CapFed guest host. We've been talking Sporting Kansas City. She's already shown her chops in, I'm going to come across as biased.
Soccer chops.
I'm going to come across as biased, but I would say one of the better CapFed guest hosts we've had.
For sure.
Best, maybe? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we should rank them. That's probably not fair.
That's not fair, but if we did, yes.
Do I get my pick on the wall?
I don't know. Well, we are going to take a picture and we'll social media that out here in a little bit, but since you are an original Dot, I don't get to come across many, you know, Dot originals. Look, we were KCK before KCK was cool, before the racetrack, before Children's Mercy Park was out there, and the legends.
Oh, it took an hour to get to Piper.
Yeah, oh yeah. My dad moved us out to Piper when I was in high school, and it was like he might as well move me to Des Moines, Iowa. I mean, it was like
a Piper kid.
I grew up in. Let's see.
Did you go to the Dead End?
Wow.
Did you go to hang out at the Dead End?
I went to Bishop Ward. I'd never transferred to Piper. I've been accused of being a Piper sellout many times, and I don't appreciate it.
I felt the sellout vibe being tossed.
Wasn't that like with disdain?
I don't know what
Piper
any of these
kid?
Words mean. You know, I'm from Des Moines. I don't know what any of these
from
words
Piper,
mean.
You're not really from KCK.
But
is what
I
it
did.
Really means.
I saw the. Yeah. I heard the disdain in her voice, and I saw the shame in your eyes.
I went to St. Peter's Cathedral. I went to Bishop Ward High School. I did not go to Piper. You know. So let's talk some real KCK stuff. Best, even if it's not in existence anymore, best place to eat. What was your favorite restaurant in Kansas City, Kansas? Any genre, no, like, you know, no stipulations.
No, this is a true story. So my son may have skipped school today. And Derek texted me and said, where can I take them to eat in Wyandotte County? And I said, Wyandotte Barbecue.
That's a good choice.
And he took them, yeah. He took him and his friend Jack there, and they he sent me a picture. Yeah.
Fantastic. The one on State Avenue?
State Avenue, baby.
That was out by your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
There's also a Go Chicken Go not too far from there. How are you on Go Chicken? Are you positive on Go Chicken Go?
You know, we hit the Go Chicken Go on 635 on the way home from Overland Park sometimes.
See?
Those roots, they're hard, hard to get away from.
I've been introduced to Go Chicken Go.
Have I taken you to Go Chicken Go or our old buddy?
Our old buddy Jake Yodgers did for sure.
Yeah, he knows what's up. Yeah. So there's the one down on like 7th Street, and then that was close to your high school, and then there's the one out on State Avenue. I'll go to either one. I'm not like, I don't discriminate.
What about Winchell's? We were talking about that earlier.
Winchell's Donuts on Parallel Parkway, right by the water slide.
It's like a Taco Bell, and then it turned into like a Taco Bell or something.
Yeah, there were some issues with that Taco Bell too back when we were in high school that we won't talk about on the radio.
Google it.
The YMCA right there at Parallel Parkway, that was where you scored your first soccer goal, you told me.
It was a PK. Mm-hmm. I stubbed my toe. The goalie dove when he thought I was going to kick it,
mm-hmm.
and it bounced over him.
There you go. Did you ever go to Mrs. Peter's Fried Chicken on State Avenue?
Duh.
Okay. Just make sure.
That's your favorite?
That's my favorite of all time. It's not there anymore. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, that is.
There was also a Peter's Drive-In right down the street, which is where I had my first ever vanilla Coke, and I don't know the answer to that question.
What about Waco? Did you hang out at Waco?
What's Waco?
The softball fields.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right by the Woodlands. Yes, right? I got mugged there once.
My car got broken.
Memories.
The worst thing was I got mugged for a hideous Tennessee Volunteer baseball cap that I was wearing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should thank them.
People were hard up. KCK for
a Tennessee Volunteer hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hung out there. Wyandotte County Swim Club. Did you ever go to Wyandotte County Swim Club?
No, I didn't live in Piper.
That was not in Piper. That was right by your neighborhood. That was
shots.
Right by your, wow.
Shots. I dig it.
That's fired.
And inaccurate, by the way. Erroneous on both counts. So you never saw the majesty of Cannonball Jack?
No.
Cannonball Jack was a guy who would do cannonballs off.
Was his name Jack?
It was John or Jack. Now, I can't remember. It might have been Cannonball John.
Okay.
I can't remember.
I had to go to the Y swimming pool.
Okay. We went to the Y swimming pool, too, when I was a kid. I mean, I remember that, but... Yeah, we graduated to the Wyandotte County Swim Club at some point. It was pretty.
Yeah, when you moved to Piper.
Oh, the Piper kids went to the Piper, like the Piper Lake or whatever. There was a lake out there. Yeah, it was different.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't know. Yeah, wouldn't
well,
know.
Well, I'm glad we sorted all this out.
Me too.
I'm trying to think if there's any other Wyandotte County staples. Do you ever go to City Fish?
No. What's City Fish?
City Fish was on State Avenue right across from the Piggly Wiggly. I got mugged there as well. I'm basically thinking, well, I didn't actually get mugged. I got chased for my shoes. I was wearing some Jordans. I had some fresh Jordan 4s, and myself and Phil Hernandez got chased for our Jordans there, but we came away unscathed. So I hope you had a decent time.
It was the best.
It was fun?
It was
okay,
so fun.
Good. We'll have to look out for you at the games now and at Swole Park Rangers as well, apparently. So and we'll keep an eye out for Storm, right?
Storm, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
Good luck to him, yeah.
Well, Amy, thanks so much. This was great. I hope
you
had fun.
It was awesome. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun for us, at least for me.
And don't forget, we will see you Saturday night. It was fun for Carter. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Sporting Kansas City against Colorado Rapids on Fox Sports Kansas City, pregame at 6:30. And, of course, you can hear the game here on 99.3 FM. Our thanks to Marcelo Balboa as well for joining us. And we'll see you next week. Dave Borchert will be filling in for me on the Sporting Kansas City show.
There you go. Safe travels back, Cauldron.